Blog Talk Radio.
Among your aunt's international company, that it's non-union. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, how do they? Have you ever discussed your feelings or your views with your fellow workers? Or how do they feel? Do you ever pick up anything? Do they feel that they're being treated fairly? You're getting health care and benefits, and I don't know if you get discounts on the products. But how do you feel about the workplace working in a non-union environment?
Well, the way that I think across the board that lots of companies that are, you know, that are like operated, they're known, they'll, you know, they're big, all of their companies are say like, you know, statewide, you know, or, you know, statewide, but their, you know, the owners are overseas or whatever, even, or what, you know, whatever the case like might be, the whole thing is that everybody's like trying to like cover, is just trying to like, you know, cover their butts, making sure that their like whole company, their whole company like paradigm is something that's going to be a successful one, and keeping those models intact, it's cutting, you know, a lot of just like, you know, what can we do, what, you know, trim, you know, fat trimming, and essentially what you find everywhere is just the marginalization of the employees, whether they like it or not, and whether I think even if the employer wants to or not, everybody's trying to maintain these particular like profit like margins for the continued success. And there's a lot of externalities like to it, and there's a lot of different factors too that come into play that aren't, you know, that are very complicated, such as the price of the barrels of crude and so forth. So I don't know whether or not people are happy by it. I mean, people just accept it. Folks, it's, you know, people are happy to have a job, and you are told as much if there's any second feelings about the place of work on that matter. So.
Do you think, though, that final question, Jim? Do you think that if your place and company was unionized, would it be a better place, or would you feel more secure, or would it make a difference?
That That too is complicated. One, the systems of mediation, how mediation is appointed, is really at this juncture, it's very difficult. I mean, there's been a lot of the teeth have been taken out. Like in a sense, it's not the same. There's a lot of other factors that have essentially softened up the influence like of arbitration to the point where it's there for show when it does exist, but its shadow really mediation is a facade if it does exist and it does essentially say yes, you know, we are keeping things together with our workers, and but it the companies have set up a lot of strict guidelines by which the union folks like have to follow. So it's not even it's pretty much a third party that somehow keeps things at a certain constant, but it's not a very doesn't seem to be the most effective, tools, for any kind of dialogue. I mean, in some cases, I strongly feel that it could still be, it could turn around. At this juncture, it currently stands as a very impotent tool to provide a human face or a human sense of togetherness or of some kind of siblinghood that you would have like with your fellow workers, but really the company, the corporation, in the private or public sector, essentially stands alone as an entity, they're a person, they're an individual. So we essentially serve a demagogue that is somehow the face is the company name, the product, and everything is product driven. Everything is the individual that is the company. And then, you know, and then if anything, even though you're given really little, the best thing you got is a human resources department, which has more so than ever sort of served as the buffer zone where these things that would normally be dealt by the arbitration then are completely broadsided by these appointed departments that deal with the needs of the employees, but on an incredibly on the company's own terms. There's nothing that's done outside of or that would take any decision like out of the company's hands for.
So you don't have a backup. So if there were a union where you worked, the union rep or shop steward would, if there were a dispute between the employee and the management, that the shop steward would accompany you to a meeting and, in effect, be your advocate or protect you from being abused by the management. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in this case, there was arbitration, but there's no, not everything. Everything is handled between everything nowadays is between supervisor to the peon, and then there's a head guy, there's a representative head guy, there's a bigger guy that oversees that cluster of other stores and so forth, and then so on. It's the like the Russian doll like paradigm or something.
So now, if you had a son, I'm assuming you don't, and he was asking you, Dad, what does my future look like? Would my life standard of living be better than yours or your grandfather's? What would you tell your son if you had one and was asking you that question today? Would his life be better? That's been the thing of America, of everybody who's come to America, immigrants or even people who were born here, that the fathers and the families want their children to have a better life and better opportunities and more opportunities than they had. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, real you. Ideally, yes. You want that. The only thing I was ever told was essentially you build it yourself, and the building blocks is a reason. I mean, there's a reason why you're given like building blocks in the development, the developmental stages of growing up. You're taught to manufacture and manifest your own destiny.
So you got to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. Is that what you're saying?
In a sense, there's no. You've got to be a self-made person. You cannot rely. You can't rely, I think, on anything, Social Security or I don't know. I mean, benefits are great when you can get them, where you can get them, and gosh, for as long as they're getting good, but
are available.
Nothing is a sure thing, and you understand that, and that's, in a sense, that's the good news, and I think that's...
So you got to be a survivor. Would you say that's accurate?
Very much so. I mean, it's like Darwinian logic, of course. You've got to make your own homestead, your own heaven, your own hell, your own place.
Some people are making it hell for other people. Well, Jim, any final comments or observations since you're in an unusual situation, considering your family history and everything?
I think the future is still unwritten, and there's a great chance for all kinds of good things. I feel very.
You're optimistic.
Very much so.
Okay.
What we're up against, I feel that we the people still have the power to make a world that's more tolerant and understanding, and we don't all have to agree, and that's the good news. And so if we can get to that point, and then we can
dialogue. I think, is that fair to say, to end everything? Okay, Jim, it's great talking to you, and of course I see you from time to time. And you looked content in a sense, but it's good that you're thinking about these issues or have thought about them, and we appreciate you for being on the program. And so I'll probably see you next weekend. Let's hope this comes out. I'll edit this last comment out.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Take care, Jim. And I'll let you know how it came out.
Yeah, wonderful.
Take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
You as well.
And thanks for being on the program.
Anytime.
Bye.
We will be back at Wednesday. Hope to have the new speakers in. And we will scoop. So we'll play our final politics and poker. And we'll be back at our usual time. There was a screw up today. Now, of course, it's holiday. And here we go.
Republican who's willing to lose. I suppose we should make Jack Riley. Riley, are you thinking of Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and polka, politics and polka, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
This is Peter Paul Mazzola. We'll be back Wednesday. We hope to have the rest. We'll have to have our speaker system fixed. And so, thanks for listening. Have a safe remaining Labor Day holiday. Good night.